I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Jill Lublin. Jill is an international speaker on the topics of publicity, networking, kindness, and referrals. She's authored 4 books. Oh my goodness, that's a lot. Get Noticed, Get Referrals by McGraw-Hill. She's co-authoring Guerrilla Publicity and Networking Magic. And her latest book, Prophet of Kindness, went number one in 4 different categories. Jill is a master strategist on how to position your business for more profitable and more visibility in the marketplace. She is the CEO of a strategic consulting firm and has over 25 years of experience working with over 100,000 people plus national and international media. Jill teaches a virtual publicity boot camp. By the way, we're going to have a free resource. Stay tuned. There's going to be a free resource about that. But free publicity boot camp and consults and speaks all over the world. She has spoken on many stages with luminaries such as Tony Robbins. Jill also leads a conscious kindness community. Jill, welcome.
Thank you, Craig. I'm delighted to be here with you.
Yeah, you know, we've chatted over a few months, gotten to know you, and been looking forward to this interview. And you mentioned something that kind of struck me interesting. You set off, so you're in San Francisco now, or you're the Bay Area now, you're in Bay Area, but you started off in Detroit and you set out to become a lawyer.
Yes, I did.
Did you succeed?
Well, you know, I was all gung-ho. In fact, honestly, from the time I was young, I wanted to be an attorney. First of all, nobody in my family graduated university. So that in and of itself was a major accomplishment to graduate undergrad. And then I thought that going to law school would be like really a next step, an opportunity to really help people. I saw it as a way to be a problem solver and make a difference. And then I got to law school. And so honestly, being in law school, it was, for me, very boring, very linear. I'm more of a much more expansive, creative thinker, and law school is not the place for that. And it just wasn't the right environment for me. So I dropped out in the first year. Now, understand, Craig, I've never been a woman who dropped out of anything. I mean, you know, I was always did well in school and always very involved in programs and projects. So I felt like a failure, like dropping out of law school. And there was a bit of that, what would I call it? Kind of a judgment around that. And I remember my father saying to me, who was very disappointed too, he said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I said, "I'm going to be an entrepreneur."
Wow.
And so, I'm still perfecting that art.
So you mentioned law school was linear, and I mean, help me understand, what was it that didn't jive?
Well, I don't know if you've ever been a class called The Rule of Perpetuity, but I still to this day cannot figure out what the heck that professor was talking about. I mean, they're just, you know, contracts, and it's very, every language is very specific, and dot the I's and cross the T's. Great way to be in life. It's important. That's why we have attorneys, so that you can dot the I's and cross the T's. It just was not who I am. I'm a very creative person. I'm more like a butterfly. I flit between places. It's very, law school was not only a very demanding environment for me, it certainly wasn't happy there. And then I thought about the career of being an attorney, which I didn't see how that could be that much different. So instead of dropping out later, I figured I'd do it faster.
And you know, I'm trying to think. I wonder if there's a profession that that one requires an advanced degree that has more people not practicing that profession. I mean, have you noticed that there's people doing all sorts of things with law degrees, which technically is a doctorate. They have law degrees and they're not practicing law. They're nowhere near law.
Well, because like I said, it's very demanding. It requires a very specific function, and that is great. But, you know, honestly, I find a lot of people, I think that's why they want to go into different things. Now, having a law degree is phenomenal. It's fantastic. It's another, you know, tool in your toolbox, right? And a feather in your cap and all those wonderful things. If you can get through 3 years of law school, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, when you were talking about dotting the T's and crossing the I's, are you familiar with what the Oxford comma is?
No.
Okay. So Oxford comma, when you see A comma, B comma, and C, the Oxford comma is that second comma. So some people, especially people who graduate journalism school, say A comma, B and C, leaving out that second comma. No kidding. There's been a multi-million dollar settlement, a court case, based on what the sentence meant without that second comma versus with that second comma.
Now, Craig, come on, I got to tell you, don't you think we have better things to do in this world? I mean, I just think there are bigger problems to solve, okay? I just do. But hey, God bless them. I hope they make a lot of money, whoever won that case. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I just think there are bigger things to do in the world. And, you know, we all have our paths.
Yeah, yeah. No, and so good for you for identifying that and moving on, because that would have been your life, arguing over commas. And
right. Can you picture that? No.
Yeah. So you went on from dropping out of law school to breaking both ankles.
Yeah, that wasn't simultaneous, but
okay. Well, what happened? So, all I know is you broke both ankles. Well, you broke both ankles. Was that simultaneous?
Yes, that happened both at once, and it was already by this point. I was a best-selling author. Guerrilla publicity was out. I was on a speaking tour in Vancouver, Canada, and then one in a smaller island off Vancouver called Nanaimo. I actually learned how to say it. And that's actually where the accident happened. I was getting onto a ferry to get back over to Vancouver for my next speaking engagement. And well, I didn't quite make it because I literally, it was one of those dark and stormy night stories, truly. And I literally fell over a rain grate, and that was it for 5 months in a wheelchair and breaking both ankles in multiple places. So no walking for me. We had to modify the house. I couldn't get in my kitchen. Okay, that was my favorite part. But, you know, everybody else had to bring me meals and, you know, help me. I had to have a caregiver. It was intense. And here's what's really interesting about this, Craig. You know, everybody says, oh, things happen for a reason. And I really reflected on this, like, why did this happen? You know, I was in the height of the speaking career. My book had just come out. I was having a blast and doing wonderful, you know, what was really fulfilling work for me. And then I realized, well, part of this was really about learning how to receive help, learning not to do things alone, you know, like a lot of entrepreneurs are lone rangers. And so I had to learn real quick. There was no doing it alone anymore.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, let me ask this. Now, I definitely want to hear more about that. But I've been in a wheelchair, and not 5 months, but three or four, something like that. I'm curious from your perspective, you know, because we go through life, a walking life, just assuming everything's normal and not thinking about what's like once you're in a wheelchair. What's the one thing you would love people to be more aware of, more sympathetic to, for folks that are in wheelchairs. What did that teach you when you were in there?
Actually, a number of things, interestingly enough, because remember, I'm in the world of publicity. All of a sudden, here's what I noticed. When I was in a wheelchair, people talked to me different. I'm like, what? I'm still the same person, but they talked to me different. That and like coming around corners, especially because my injury was in the feet, and like people just are not paying attention between being on their phones and distracted, and you know, just totally would bump into me, which frankly caused sometimes more drama or me being, oh my God, you know, it's because people just sometimes are not paying attention. Let me just say it that way. And I do find that the perception of me was different. Isn't that interesting? Here I am, this, you know, international speaker. I've been on many stages, and all of a sudden I noticed people treated me differently. Although they were kind, they were great on the whole. But you know, I find people are somewhat oblivious, and it's like, hello, wheelchair in back of you, you know, could you maybe move to the right a little bit, or, you know, cause somebody usually had to push me, and you know, your obviously mobility is so limited, much more limited. So I'd say that was my big lesson.
Huh.
Asking for help. That was the big thing. Big thing.
Yeah. You know, for me, the big thing that surprised me was how hard it is to get in the bathrooms.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny when I tell people that, they're like, isn't the door big enough? I'm like, no, the door was big enough. It's the spring. I said, there's a spring on that door whose lone mission is to keep me out. And I felt like Don Quixote in my wheelchair charging the door. It was me versus the door. Well, my feet weren't, you know, or ankles weren't broken. I can't imagine what you had to go through. That was the hardest thing.
Funny you should mention doors. Doors were very hard. You're absolutely right. And not only, you know, to the bathroom, but then I tried to get in a hotel room. Oh my gosh, it was a handicap accessible room. The door was so heavy. I'm like, who could access this? And then we got to the bed, and like, no way could I get on that bed. It was high. It was, I don't know why it was high in a handicap accessible room. Just things that I don't know that everybody thinks all the way through.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's a bigger lesson in life there that, you know, for us to really serve others, there's a little bit of empathy that's needed. And sometimes to have that empathy, we need to go outside of our comfort zone and see the world through their eyes.
Yes. Yeah, that's really good. And, you know, that forced the issue. And plus, I'm a nature girl. I love to be outside. And we had to actually buy a little book called Handicap Accessible Trails. And then I discovered all kinds of things about that. So it was a phenomenal experience in the sense of learning how to ask for help, really a big lesson.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's explore that a little bit more. So, and I mean, my general impression is you seem very independent. And so I imagine that was a hard time for you. How did that shape you, and what was the result of that?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I think as entrepreneurs, many of us would say that we're a bit of lone rangers. You know, it takes a certain personality to run a business. It's no easy thing. It's not for the faint of heart. And so I remember I had an assistant here at home, and he had to literally, you know, make me every meal and bring notes to me while I was laying, you know, flat out. I mean, I couldn't even get and move for about a month and a half of that. So the literally having to ask, really, I think that's my biggest thing, to surrender, to ask for help. And to now I put this in my business because guess what? I love to delegate. I love to, you know, let support into my life. How about that one? I think a lot of people have trouble with that, letting support in, asking for support. So that was a biggie. That was a biggie. And that shaped me for sure.
Mm. So how did that translate to work? How did that change who you were at work?
Well, I have more team now. I definitely have more team. I have multiple people handling different things. And by the way, I try to keep them where are they good? What do they love to do, right? Some people are natural servers and love to help in the home office. Some people, I have a virtual assistant who's in Florida and she loves to do all the things that I don't love to do. You know, I have a bookkeeper. I no way would I touch my bookkeeping. So I think that like stay in your lane. You know what I'm saying? Like for me, I love doing publicity, helping people with that. And that's my lane. And so I stay there. I do my publicity breakthrough boot camps. I run my publicity crash course. I mean, that's so much, that's who I am. I run my conscious kindness circles based on my new book, The Prophet of Kindness. That's fun. You know, that's what I'm doing these days. And I just like to stay in my lane and do what I do best.
Yeah. So, and obviously a lot of that is PR.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And so what sort of companies do you do PR for?
Well, I work a lot with entrepreneurs. I work a lot with bigger companies like Philips brought me in to talk to the directors of marketing for, funny enough, guerrilla publicity tactics. I mean, today's budget conscious times, guerrilla publicity is a very terrific tactic that really works for big companies and small companies. And then I serve entrepreneurs so that they can look like the big guys and get publicity that they desire and deserve.
What are some examples of guerrilla publicity?
Well, here's one. I had a gentleman come to me and he said, Jill, I'm an instructional designer and I want to get my word out and build my business. And I'm like, great. What is an instructional designer? I actually didn't know. And so he told me, and I'm like, no offense, but that's not going to get you publicity. Let's find a better media message. And so he told me his story, and it was a story that was a great story, a personal story, one of victory and actually winning in a tough situation of getting laid off and having no job and, you know, pregnant wife and all these things that he was dealing with. And that was the story that we created that actually got him into the San Francisco Business Times, Entrepreneur Magazine, Macomb Journal. I mean, really all kinds of media that got him tremendous visibility and clients and prospects and speaking engagements and elevated industry status, all the things that publicity does. So that was terrific.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I messed it. So when I think of guerrilla, I'm thinking, okay, how, you know, unusual tactics to accomplish things. And so what made that unusual?
Well, number one, he wasn't talking about what he did. And I think it's a mistake that most people kind of, well, let me just say, a lot of people miss this very powerful way to actually get publicity, which is using, I like to call it everything you've got. In his case, it was his personal story. It's also the fact that he's Chinese. We got him in the Chinese Times, translated that article into Chinese. He got a $7,000 client from one article in the Chinese Times by doing that. Okay. And that was just one of the results that happened. And I could go on and on. This is what I'm talking about. I like to call it, again, use everything you've got, your ethnicity, your religion, your male, female, your anything you can use. What's different? What's unique? My consultant who has an autistic son, and we talk about National Autism Month during the time, you know, that's a lot more effective.
Yeah. No, I love that. It's, you know, and the language I use around that lies, play the hand you were dealt, not the hand that you want.
Right.
And, you know, for me, one of the ways that plays out in my life is when I was in the hospital 2.5 years ago, they goobered up my face and I now have a big scar across my lip. Guess when I started wearing a goatee?
Right.
I started wearing a goatee when I had a scar that was worth highlighting.
Yes. Love that. I love that. I can't see it quite, but I love that.
Yeah. It's.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. It's like a half inch wide and goes all the way across the lip. And yeah. But that's interesting. That really resonates. I mean, I obviously didn't, you know, I made no plans to go in the hospital and have a near brush with death, but that's what happened. And it's now a part of my story.
Right.
Is that what you're saying, is take things like that and just amplify those?
Exactly. I mean, listen, we've all got it, right? Some part of our story that either A, we want to tell, or maybe even don't want to tell. And because maybe it's embarrassing, or maybe it's the very thing that is makes you who you are. In my family, it's mental illness. You know, so what do we want to talk about? Where do we want to talk about it? But certainly getting more publicity on it is often the very thing that helps others. You know, like you may be talking about three things you need to look at before you go in the hospital. Might be important message that you have, which then drives people, funny enough, back to your business. And I think that people really need to hear this, that no matter what happens out in the world of publicity, it's always driving people back to your business, your website. People are going to look you up. Yeah. That's what happens.
Yeah. No, I like that. And I think one of the things I see when people are applying to the podcast, so many people come and they say, hey, I'm going to talk about this. And I ask all of them, just like I asked you, I said, well, what's something really interesting in your life? And I start finding that people have these fascinating things. And the one thing that I see, I've had so many people tell me, Craig, my life is boring. I've done nothing interesting. And I keep probing, and eventually it comes out. Yeah. One of the people that told me that, Craig, I don't have anything interesting. Turns out he met Bobby Knight wearing a towel.
There's always something, you know, and even though people might not think their life is so interesting, you know, the human experience is fascinating. And I think as we each delve into something about ourselves that has that kind of appeal or heartfelt connection, or even, you know, the vulnerability, the drama, the happiness, whatever it is, the reality is, from a publicity perspective, it's probably worth talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So you raised a good point that, you know, right now it's tough. People are cutting budgets, including Bob Iger of Disney is cutting his marketing budget. Everybody's cutting budgets. So what are three or four things that you would recommend people do from a PR standpoint in this economy?
Yeah. So first thing is, and you know, in order to look like the big guys, the point is get some publicity, period, end of story. That's A. So, you know, couple ways you can get it is I love an article, 500 words, and post that on medium.com. Post it in LinkedIn. Post it, frankly, anywhere you can, including your social media, your own blogs, and ask other people to share it. Now, is that publicity that starts happening? Yes. Is that, oh, that's an interesting article. Click here because they're going to go to your website or your free gift, like we'll give away soon. You know, whatever it is that people are interested in, they will go that direction. And what I want for all of you is just more visibility. So that's a great thing to do first. The other thing is go to Google Alerts and put in your name. And that way, if anybody does say anything about you, you're going to know. That's important. And number two, put in a phrase. Like when the Prophet of Kindness put out, I put one word in called kindness. When Guerrilla Publicity came out, I put in the word publicity. Now I know when anyone's writing on any of these things, that's a key. And that's a great thing to do. You also, you're on alert, so to speak, of what people are covering so that you can get in there too. That works really great.
Yeah. Now you mentioned a free gift. What's the free gift?
Well, I got a fabulous publicity action guide filled with wonderful tips beyond what we could have time to talk about today. And it's a double bonus gift because I offer you a free publicity masterclass, live and interactive with me, answer your questions, and give you some more great content.
Wow, that sounds that sounds pretty good. I can't imagine who would not benefit from that.
Well, thank you. Should I say the link?
So go ahead and say the link. We'll have it in the show notes.
Perfect. It's publicitycrashcourse.com www.publicitycrashcourse.com/free-gift.
Excellent. publicitycrashcourse.com/free-gift.
Got it.
Well, and how do they reach you?
You know, go to jilllublin.com. There's plenty of contact us there. And we're very responsive. We love to support you in your publicity journey and seeing next steps that are right for you.
And Lublin is spelled L-U-B-L-I-N.
That's perfect. Yes, jilllublin.com.
Excellent. Well, Jill, thanks for coming on Leaders and Legacy. This has been interesting.
Thank you.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.